to know that we have some special guests today. Steve Nichols has joined us on the piano, and we're really excited that he's helping out today along with Luke and Steve, and we're really grateful for that. But also our special speaker today is a man who has inspired hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in their walk of faith, and that's Alani Riley of Maridzo Center. And he's going to be sharing with us today. And I guarantee that if you take this to heart, your life will be changed. So that's what we're looking for, is change lives. Jesus changing us this day. Our reading for today, our affirmation, comes from Isaiah 37:14 through 20. And I will read the first verse, and you read every other verse. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it.
And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and stretched before the Lord.
And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying,
O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. All the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth.
Incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God.
Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Syria have laid waste all the nations and their countries,
and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them.
Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from our hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we spread our lives out before you. All of the things that are coming against us, all of the things that we have, the baggage that we carry in to this place, they, all of the stuff, and we say, you are God, you are our King, and we trust in you. Today, have your way, speak to us. This day, dear Lord, this day I ask that you would be honored in this place. We're so grateful that you've changed us. And now keep working on us, Lord, for your glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
How y'all doing? Good. It was awesome, wasn't it? Wow. We've had church today. Y'all get them glory bumps?
Yes.
Yeah, man. Get them glory bumps, boy. That, you know, God's moving in a great way. So we are glad to be here to share a few thoughts with you today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about faith, if I may. Faith is not an exhaustive subject. You can never exhaust that subject. So I'm not going to try to give you everything there is about faith, but to give you a little idea of what it is. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Yes. And it also says we will walk by faith and not by sight. Now, would you not agree that if we are to live by it and walk by it, it would be pretty important to understand what it is? Right. Let me tell you what it is not. Faith is not getting a good idea and hoping long enough and praying hard enough until God relents and does your good idea. That's presumption. You're presuming on God. So we're going to talk about what faith is today, so that you can have a better understanding why the Lord would say we're to walk by it and live by it. Now, that's just not for key people. That's for everybody who is a Christian, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, we find the passage that's very familiar to you. But I'm going to kind of dissect that, if I may, in the first verse, and kind of give you an idea of what faith is. Now, faith is the substance. Let me stop right there. I asked a teenager one time, when you think of the word substance, what do you think about? That's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? And I'm thinking he's going to come up with something like substance abuse or, you know, something way off the wall that I didn't know about. So I'm in Eastern Kentucky, right? This kid sits down on the curb. He thinks about it a while. He looks up at me and finally he says, well, when I think about substance, I just think about stuff. I said, you know, that's probably the best definition that I've ever heard of substance. Now, read it like this. Faith is the stuff. It's the content of. It's the makeup of. It's the essence of your life as a believer. That's pretty amazing to me. Faith is the stuff that we're to be made of. And then let's go on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let me stop right there, and you can underline that word in your Bible if you write in your Bible. And the little word hope is, we use it very differently than they did in the New Testament. Let me give you this idea. We can use it like this. If you came up to me today and you said, Brother Lonnie, I'm not feeling too well, I might respond to you, well, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. I hope you feel better tomorrow. You ever use that word like that? Do you know what you just said? I don't have a clue whether you will or not. But I just hope everything works out all right. And am I right in that? Now, we take that same idea into our Christian faith and we say, Lord, I don't know if it's going to work out, but I just hope. I don't have an idea whether it will or not, but I just hope everything works out all right. That's not what this word means. This word is confidence or assurance. Now, read it like this. Faith is the stuff that you're already convinced about. Boy, that's a whole different subject, isn't it? That's a whole different thought. You mean I can know what God's going to do? Well, I know the Bible is a big book, and sometimes our minds are a little short. But can you think of anything that God ever did in the Bible that he didn't first tell somebody what he was going to do before he did it? Can you think of anything? Now, I said this to a bunch of preachers one time, and one of the preachers raised his hand. He said, oh, yeah, what about creation? Some of you thinking that, right? What about creation? But my Bible says, let us create man in our image. Somebody was there. And God is constantly telling somebody what he's going to do before he does it. Now, watch. They believe God, and God does it. Now, let's read it like this. Faith is the stuff that you're already convinced about, and then it's the evidence. See that word? Underline that, if you will. That means the reality. That means that when you are convinced that God is going to do something, watch this close now, then God shows everybody what he told you. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Is that not true in the Bible with any person you want to choose from the Bible? Whether it's Moses, Abraham, the disciples, Jesus, it's all the same. Because it's the truth of God's Word. Faith is the stuff that you're convinced about and it becomes reality for everybody else to see. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Let me suggest you try that. And live by faith and walk by faith. And for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, I'll share with you a few things in just a moment. But a guy came up to me one time and he said, boy, you sure are a man of great faith. I wish I had as much faith as you do. Now, when folks say that to me, it doesn't elevate me. It humbles me to say, Lord, am I different than everybody else? Because everybody's to walk by faith. Everybody's to live by faith. Well, it ought to be the same. So, Lord, would you teach me what this is about? Now, I want you to follow me how simply this is. Now, you can respond to me when I say to. And we don't want everybody preaching at the same time, right? How much faith does God have? Not a loaded question. How much faith does he have? All faith. He's God, right? God is everything. So God has all faith. Now watch me. How much faith does Jesus have? You know why he has all faith? Because the Bible says that the entire Godhead was wrapped up bodily in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Right? He's got all the faith there is. Now, when you received Jesus, how much of him did you receive? You can't receive part of Jesus. You got to receive him all. So if God has all faith, he sent his Son who has all faith. Now you have Jesus in your heart who has all faith. How much faith do you have residing in you? This is not rocket scientist stuff. This is simple stuff. But now the question must become, how much of God's faith am I now allowing him to display through my life? That's a different question. Because sin can block that. Our resistance to God and disobedience can block that. And the faith, you know what Paul said? Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me who's living any longer. It's Christ living in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith. Can you finish that? Of the Son of God. Paul said, it's not my faith I'm living by. It's his faith being demonstrated through my life. Do you understand how important that is? It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do through you that makes all the difference in the world. It's not about us and how much faith we have. We have all we need residing in us, but it's the Lord Jesus' faith. And as we open our lives and surrender to him, he then releases his faith through our life. And guess what happens? Everybody in the world sees it. That's what he's trying to talk about. Now, if you go on down to verse 6 in this passage, I won't go through all of that. But if you go down to verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mentioned this yesterday in my little talk over there. In fact, I took this as the key verse because I believe it's important. without faith, it is impossible. What does the word impossible mean? Now, I'm from Kentucky, and I tell folks, let me tell you the Kentucky definition. There ain't the slightest chance it's going to happen. Is that a pretty good definition of impossible? Yeah. So without faith, there isn't the slightest chance that your life or my life will ever be pleasing to God. That's pretty incredible to me. You mean I can go out and witness on the street and not please God? If you're not doing it in faith, you can. You can stand behind the pulpit and preach. And if you're not preaching in faith, you are not pleasing God. You can sing in the choir, sing in the praise band. You can teach Sunday school. You can do anything there is for God. But if you're not doing it in faith, it is not pleasing to God according to the scripture, unless I missed it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, what must we do then? He says in verse 6, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Do you understand that that's the key to everything in your Christian life? Is believing that God is. Fill in the blank. And let me tell you, I wish I had time to talk on this. Maybe later I will. But if you do not believe that God is, then your prayer life is vain. And it is empty. And you're not seeing the results that God desires, because he said, if you come to God, you must believe that he is. And not only that he is, fill in the blank, whatever it is, but he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The Bible says you will seek me and find me when you seek me, how? With all your heart. Not part of you. With all of your heart, when you seek God, you will be found of him. Now, sometimes we want to get this good idea, and we want to obey God, and things don't work out just right. You want me to explain this to you real quickly? I believe that man is born in the image of God. Therefore, he is a threefold being. He is a body, soul, and spirit. The body is what you see. The soul is your emotion and your senses. the part about you, what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what you taste, those kinds of things, and your emotions too. That's your soul. But your spirit is what is most godlike. But the Bible says in Ephesians that we are dead in that spiritual part of our life. And Jesus talked to Nicodemus and said, you got to be born again. He that is born again of the Spirit, unless you're born again, he says, you cannot, you know what that word is? What did he say to Nicodemus? Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you won't be able to see what God does. You won't be able to hear God. You won't be able to respond to God unless you've been born again of the Spirit of God. If you do not know Jesus, today is the day to begin your journey with Him. And you can receive Him into your heart because He died on the cross, placed in a tomb, raised again, and descended back to the Father so to make sure that you could understand the heart of God in this, our time.
Amen.
So, we were born again of the Spirit of God. Now watch this. All of your life, you've been taught to walk by sight. You've been taught how to walk by the body and what you feel, what you see, what you hear. Let me give you an example. If you're on the finance committee, don't throw rocks at me. But if God gives the pastor a vision for the church, and he comes to the church and says, here's what I believe God would have us do. And you're on the finance committee and you say, man, I don't see how we got enough money to do that. You know what you just said? I'm not walking by faith. I'm walking by what I see. What you see is not as important as what God says. When God says it, it's a done deal. Whether you believe it or not, it's still done. When God speaks a word, it's done. And now if you don't believe it, He'll just go around you and find somebody who will. But it will be done. Or maybe God wants to expand some way and you say, man, I don't feel that's the thing we ought to do right now. You know what you just said? I'm walking by flesh. So we've been taught how to do that. Now watch. When we're born again of the Spirit of God, we bring that same idea into the church. But you see, it's not part of the church because now we are led by the Spirit of God. When you're born again of the Spirit, watch this close, for the first time in your life, you can see the world and you can see the heart of God at the same time. That's the difference in Christians. That's the difference in walking by faith, being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We're to live on a different plane than the world. Doesn't make us better, it makes us different. We're not better than anyone else. We're just different than the world is. And so this faith issue is something that we need to deal with before we go too much farther in our Christian walk. Now, if you go down to verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Go down to verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when? Yeah, see, everybody in the Bible had to hear a word from God before they could obey it. If I tell my kids, I don't want you to go running down the mall without me around. Well, I'm doing that because I'm going to protect them, right? But in order to obey me, they had to hear what I said. Now, we try to obey God not having a clue what God says. Right? We try to go out and do stuff for God. We know how to do stuff for God, but we don't know how to listen to God so that when God speaks, we say, yes. It's already yes. Whatever you say, it's already yes. My wife and I, when we get up in the morning, faith is very real to us. When we get up in the morning, she stands on one side of the bed and I stand on the other side of the bed. And we raise our hands to the Lord. And we say, Lord, we just want you to know that we surrender today. Whatever we have planned this day is not as important as what you have planned. And Lord, whatever your plan is, show us, tell us, so that we can throw our plans aside and follow you. That's what faith is. Faith is learning how to follow God and how to hear His voice. And you've got to begin to connect things in your life with the faith that God has placed in you through His Son. Let me give you a couple of examples. It's where the water hits the wheel. My wife and I love snow. Now, don't get mad at me if I say this. Y'all understand. When it snows, we had a little truck. It was a two-wheel drive truck, and every time it snowed, we'd find an empty parking lot and do donuts in the parking lot. Y'all ever do that? That's kind of fun. And so we'd do donuts, and we were going down to do a few donuts. It was snowing outside, and this widow lady called and said, Brother Lonnie said, I forgot my prescription down there, and said, I'm afraid to get out in the snow. Would you mind running by and getting my prescription? I said, oh, we'd be glad to do that. So we went down to the pharmacy, picked up a prescription, took it to her, and she said, well, here's your $10. We were going down to Pizza Hut. And Belinda said, that's my wife, Belinda, 50 years. Belinda said, we don't need $10. God's taking care of us, and we just did this because we love you, and we just want to bless you. You know, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering in December, right, snowing. Belinda said, well, why don't you give that to a missionary and give it to the mission offering? And she looked at my wife and said, you're a missionary, aren't you? My wife said, yeah, we're missionaries. And she threw the $10 down in the snow and said, if you don't pick up the $10, it's going to lay there. So my wife picked it up. We were going down to Pizza Hut. We're going, now you got to connect stuff. You with me so far, right? And so we go into Pizza Hut. There sits Homeless Tommy. Now, Homeless Tommy really wasn't homeless because he would find an empty apartment. He would move into it till they found him out. He would have to move somewhere else. That's the way Tommy did until he passed. And I said, Tommy, how you doing today? He said, I'm not doing good. I said, what's the matter? He said, I got this old apartment up there, and said my kerosene heater's wick went out, and said, I'm freezing to death. I said, we'll get in the truck. We'll go down to the hardware store, and we'll see if they got a wick for your old kerosene heater. So he gets in the truck, me and Belinda and Tommy, go down to the hardware store, and they have one wick that fits his little thing. We got it, and it cost $9.95. See, God gave us 5 cents more than we needed. Do you understand? That impacted my heart. Because if you walk by faith and you obey God, God is providing for you every step of the way. Now, some of you have been listening to the DVD of Experiencing God. Haven't even seen that DVD. Just a few. Let me tell you a story about that. When God began to send workers to Lynch, Kentucky, the first year, 600 people showed up. We didn't ask a single soul to come to help us in ministry. The second year, 1,200 showed up. We only have 800,000 people in Lynch. So I got more people coming to town than we got people. Now I'm thinking, where are these folks going to stay? Where are they going to eat? Where are they going to sleep? And hopefully, where are they going to take a shower sometime during that week? 1,200 people. And we began to pray for a little old house, and the house sold on auction, thought we'd miss God. And the next week, God sent an investor into town. And when that investor came, he saw the old hospital in Lynch was vacant. And he said, Lonnie, find out who owns that old hospital up there. Now, I'd seen that place, but I never connected it with ministry. He said, find out who owns the old building, and said, I'll buy it for you and let you use it for 10 years for $1 a year. It was 4 floors, 89 rooms. I said, wow. Okay, so I called around, found out the Ark Land Company went out of St. Louis, Missouri, part of U.S. Steel. And but anyway, I hooked these two guys up. About 3 weeks later, that guy called me back and said, that deal fell through. The guy's not going to buy that. My boss is on to me to sell it. I said, man, don't sell that. He said, why not? I said, because I believe God wants to use that in the mountains for His glory. He said, do you really believe that? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, why don't you buy it? That's called putting your faith where your mouth is, isn't it? So I said, okay, I will. How much you want for it? $85,000, can't take anything less. I said, okay, I'll buy it. He said, how much money you got? I said, oh, I don't have any money. I said, but my Heavenly Father's rich, and when He gets ready, He'll buy this building for me. He said, I know you're a man of faith, but the best I can do is hold it for you for 30 days. I said, well, just hang on to it. That should be sufficient time for my Father to come up with that kind of money. Now, we don't do fundraisers. If you do, I'm not anti-fundraisers. We just know that God knows what we need. He knows where the provision is, and He knows how to put them together just right. So we let God do that. So we began to pray. And amazingly, God began to send us in money. A friend of ours passed away, and his estate sent us a check for $5,000. He said, do whatever you want to with this. Now I've got to decide, am I going to use this for me? Am I going to use this for God? And so I told my wife, hun, we didn't expect to get this. And this building's coming up for sale and closing. And all the money that we get extra, we'll put into a separate account and see what God does. 3 weeks later, God had given us $25,000. We hadn't asked anybody for a penny. We were just praising the Lord. So that guy calls me back. He said, Lonnie, you ready to close on the old building in Lynch? I said, yes, sir, I'm ready when you are. He said, well, today's Tuesday. Next Tuesday will be your 30 days. Bring me a cashier's check for $85,000. I'll bring you the deed. We'll just exchange and it'll be yours. I said, okay, you get the deed ready, I'll be there. He said, how much money you got? I said, I got $25,000. He said, now you know you need $85,000. I said, yes, sir, but I don't need it today. You told me next week. See, God's never late or early. He's always on time. We want him to show up early so we can figure out what to do with all this stuff. But God doesn't do us that way. And so we began to pray. And I went out of town on Wednesday. My wife calls me on Thursday and said, hun, this fella from Ohio called. He's from Columbus. And he said he had been praying for us. And God had instructed him to send us down some money to use on the old building. Now, that wasn't out of the ordinary. So I said, well, tell him, send it on down. Today's Thursday. Got the next Tuesday. No use to worry about it. So I called her back on Friday. I said, he haven't seen anything about that money today. She said, yeah, he wired it down. I said, wired it down? How much did he wire down? She said, $65,000. Now, if you know anything about wired money, you can't go to the bank and get it right out. I tried that. You can't do it. It's got to go through this process. So the money came available Tuesday at 12 o'clock. And I got a cashier's check for $85,000. At 1 o'clock, I handed it to Mr. Irons there in front of now what we now call Solomon's Porch Retreat Center. His eyes got big and he said, you sure a man of great faith. I said, no, has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with the Father. And you can come to know the Father like I do through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And Terry gave his heart to Christ that day. And now we're dealing with the same company again. I don't know how all that's going to work out with the COVID stuff. And now the mining thing is kind of going haywire. But he had committed initially $1 million from our farm where our horses are. We have 21 horses that goes across the mountain to where our coffee shop is, 15 miles, he committed $1 million to develop, design, develop, and build those horse trails for us. Same guy. But you see, God knows what he's doing. You know how it started? Being faithful with $10 to recognize that God was going to use that to minister to somebody's life. You see, it's not ours. And the retreat center is not mine. When I die, my kids won't fight over that. You understand? This is God's. And as long as there is time, it'll be used in his kingdom. Faith is the stuff that you're made of. And then it becomes reality for everyone else to see. That's what faith is. May I ask you a question in closing? Sir, if someone looked at your life, ma'am, if someone looked at your life, would they say there is a man or woman of faith? Do you understand? That is one word that should describe every Christian, that we are a person of faith. I don't know how you do invitations, but I'd like to do the invitation this way, if I may, as our musicians come. I know we got the social distancing thing going on and all that. But I just feel like you need to respond if God has spoken to your heart today concerning the area of faith. And here's what I'd like for you to do. if you want somebody to pray with you, and sometimes it's always wonderful to have that comforting hand on your shoulder and just have somebody whisper a prayer for you. If you would like that and you'd like to come, I want you to stand right here to your left, right here on this side of the stage. Now, prayer warriors, if you see somebody come, you just come up, put your hand on their shoulder, whisper a prayer to the Father, and go back to your seat. You don't need to know why they came. You're just going to encourage them by praying to the Father for them. But maybe God's touched your heart in the area of faith today, and you don't want anybody praying with you. You just want to come and do business with God. I'm going to ask you to come to this side of the stage and just stand here. You don't have to kneel unless God leads you to, and you can keep the social distance thing. It'll be okay. But I want you to respond from your heart. And I didn't come from Kentucky to count the number of people I could talk down the aisle. Because if I talk you down here, after the service, I can talk you out of why you came. But if God has spoken to you, then you hurry to Him. You hurry to Him. You will not be alone. We're going to stand, if you will. If you need to speak with your pastor, Brother Gray will be here. God bless you, sir, for inviting us to come. But if not, just come and take your place at the altar of God. Father, we're grateful today that we can be a people of faith. We can have confidence in You. We can trust You. And we can see You do great and mighty works so that the world would be drawn to You. Lord, let the people see that these men and women are people of faith. And we release them to Your care, knowing that's the greatest place they can be. This invitation is Yours. Use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Find that aisle and come. God bless you as you do so. Thank you.